We're back with another edition of the Midweek Minute with the Superintendent and Dr. Michelle Eller from Sylacauga City Schools. Dr. Eller, we are so thankful this time of year for so many blessings around us, from everything from, you know, just the vibrancy of the holidays and just getting into the spirit. And, you know, when you really come down to it, it's about caring for one another and being super selfless this time of year and really just reflecting on personal gratitudes. And we were talking before we started this that November is a time to be thankful, obviously, with Thanksgiving around the corner. And this is a really special time to be able to bring these two very special guests into the studio. So we have Jean and Val here from Alabama Childhood Food Solutions. Why this topic? Why food? Why this time of year? And what do you what partnership do you have, particularly with the school system and food insecurity in this area of Alabama?
So one, I think we have to define really what food insecurity is, mm-hmm. And what it does and how it impacts our students. You know, it has a profound and lasting negative impact on child development. And that is, you know, physically, cognitively, socially, and even emotional domains. And these effects can often create a cycle of adversity with our students. And we know that food insecure children are more likely to be in fair or poor health. They tend to have weakened immune systems, be more susceptible to illnesses, you know, have higher rates of hospitalizations, emergency room visits. We know that it has a negative impact on brain development. The first 5 years of a child's life are a period of rapid brain development, you know, so proper nutrition is very crucial in those years. And inadequate nutrition, of course, can alter brain structure and function, you know, really leading to some cognitive impairments, which has, we know, a direct correlation on them academically. And so it's extremely important to us, one, that we recognize that food insecurities exist. You know, about 70% of our families rely on additional assistance to be able to feed their families. Mm-hmm. And so we know that coming in. And so our school system, you know, several years ago wrote a grant, a CEP grant, to provide free breakfast and lunch for all students. So we're able to do that in-house, and we will continue to do that regardless of what happens with the federal government and regardless of whether or not we're reimbursed those expenses. We will continue to provide that. But in knowing that 70% of our families are going to have this horrific negative impact with the SNAP benefits right now being, you know, halted, it's vitally important for us to continue partnerships such as our partnership with Alabama Childhood Food Solutions to ensure that our students continue to be fed when they're not with us, the evenings and weekends especially. And so we're so grateful for our partnership with them. They currently provide 367 backpacks for students in all four of our schools. That's what they currently provide. And that's with our families receiving benefits. I can only imagine, you know, what might be the result now of these families that are finding themselves in a bind, not getting these federal benefits. I anticipate that number to rise, probably tremendously in some of our buildings. And so, one, I wanted to highlight the work that they're doing, what they do, but also let the community know how they can be involved as well, because this partnership is so vitally important for us, for our families, and for the students we serve each and every day.
Well, I'll tell you how you can get involved here coming up in a few minutes with our Stuff the Studio Food and Toy Drive. But first, Jean Rogers, you're the executive director, of course. You're coming in on the heels. You've been doing this for a few years now, but you're coming in this on the heels of Jim and Linda Jones, who were the founders of Alabama Childhood Food Solutions. The mission that you have is to demonstrate compassionate care for children and families battling food insecurity whenever and wherever needed while pointing them to the gospel. I don't think you can get more basic understanding than that right there. And knowing what we've been doing with our partnership with the Stuff the Studio Food and Toy Drive for so many years, it is true that I have seen it with my own eyes, the compassionate care for children and families that you have. And so tell us about, in a nutshell, Alabama Childhood Food Solutions and what your short-term mission is right now here as the holiday season approaches.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Yep. Certainly, our mission, as basic as I can explain it, is to make sure no child in our area goes to bed without the food that they need. And so you're exactly right. We are a faith-based organization. We have great partnerships with local churches all around. God's people are stepping up and asking, how can they help? And so our organization's been around 15 years. This spring will be our 15th year of serving the people of Talladega County, Sylacauga and specifically, and then the other counties that surround Talladega County. So we believe God's called us to this work, and we have a lot of amazing people that help us. We have 900 volunteers that came through our doors last year and said, hey, I want to help the community. And we've been giving out a lot of food to a lot of children and serving those families. What Dr. Eller shared was how many students are getting a bag every Friday when they go home for the weekend so that they have what they need. But one of the bigger parts of our mission is that those children, if they're receiving a bag, we believe they're stepping into a food insecure environment that they're actually living in. So we offer food assistance to those families so that that family can come to our warehouse. Sometimes we transport the food as if there's a need, but we want to step into those situations, and our belief is if somebody's hungry, we're going to try to fill that gap for them.
It's such an admirable thing to do. And Val Harvey, you're the community relations coordinator. You're here with us this morning. Talk to us about the relationships that you're making in the community. What people are needing, what people are wanting, and what your position is in ensuring that businesses and children and families alike are getting what they need out of this.
Sure. Thank you. I want to appreciate the opportunity to be able to share who we are and what we're doing to meet the needs in the community. So my role is community relations and primarily building relationships with the schools in the area and businesses and churches. And so doing that, just making them aware, the businesses and the churches, of truly what food insecurity is, as what Jean just described, and then what they can do to partner with us and meet the needs in the community. And it's just amazing. This is just a tremendous community. And then with the communication and building relationships up with counselors, and, you know, to Jean's point, really hearing what the counselors deal with on a day-to-day basis and hearing some of the stories of what, as Dr. Eller spoke about, what food insecurity means to the children and the difference that nutrition is making for the children, the difference that the counselors and the teachers are seeing in the learning and the behavior is just outstanding, what's able to happen. And so it seems little, it's not, it's big, the effects of nutrition on these children in the area.
Dr. Eller, just touching on that a little bit, you mentioned it earlier in your first few words, but really, how does this affect specifically students in the Sylacauga City Schools? When it comes to free and reduced lunch, how is that looking as we are on the heels of this SNAP benefit halt?
So, as we mentioned, you know, a couple years ago, we applied for that CEP grant, and that CEP grant allowed us to provide free breakfast and lunch for all students, regardless of whether or not they met the threshold for free and reduced lunch. We did this after, if you remember, during COVID, everybody got free and reduced lunch, and then all those benefits subsided, and we went back to free and reduced, and then, of course, students that had to pay. And what we were finding is even our students that may not have qualified for free and reduced lunch, those families were still struggling financially and struggling to come up with the funds for their students to eat. And we did not want that to be a barrier. We see, you know, as Val mentioned, we see the impact of children, how they respond in the classroom academically, behaviorize, all of those aspects when they're well fed. Mm-hmm. And so it was very important to us to continue that and to figure out a way to continue that, which is why we wrote that CEP grant. And of course, like I said, we'll continue to do that regardless. But, you know, our concern now is for all those families that really have relied on benefits that now are at a halt, and especially during this time of year where there's a lot of time at home. So, you know, you think about it, you've got Veterans Day, you've got that extended weekend where children will be at home, they won't be at school receiving breakfast and lunch. You've got the Thanksgiving holidays where students will be at home for a week, once again, without receiving a nutritious breakfast and lunch from the school. And we know that a lot of our students, that's the only nutritious meal that they get is the meal they get from our building. And so, you know, to have a partnership with an organization such as Alabama Childhood Food Solutions is so vitally important to us because we see the impact that it has on our students and we see the impact it has on our families.
Val, what is the response when you go and make relationships, you forge these relationships with businesses, with churches, with other community partners? What is the response for those who might not know about Alabama Childhood Food Solutions, but more particularly about the stats that are behind it when it comes to food insecurity? Just looking at your numbers on your website really quick, 750,000 plus Alabamians struggle with food insecurity, 225,000 children in Alabama face hunger, and 1 in 4 children go to bed hungry without the help of Alabama Childhood Food Solutions. Those numbers are staggering when you think about it, and it's really it emotionally can drain you if you really kind of get captivated by those numbers. So what do people say when they hear these numbers, and how do they want to help?
No, I think that, you know, that's a great point, because I think people don't think that it's their neighbor. People don't think that it's somebody they know. And the chances, like with the statistics you just gave, it really is somebody that they know, somebody that they might go to church with, might be in relationship with, whether it be friendship or in another relationship. But it is when I go and talk to somebody and I'm able to give statistics and stories that counselors are telling me about, to your point, it gets somebody emotionally invested into it. And they don't want to, if they have children, all of us have children in our lives in some way, whether it's, you know, a relative, you know, somebody in church or in their realm of their lives, the children are involved, and they can't imagine when you think about emotionally connecting to that child going to bed at night, not being able to eat. Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge. So when, you know, giving statistics and again, giving information and, you know, obviously protecting confidentiality, but these stories that I'm hearing from the counselors that are just heartbreaking, mm-hmm. of things that are happening in our community because of food insecurity and parents not being able to provide, and they're doing the best that they can. And so that gets somebody wanting to then partner with us to see what they can do to help these families and partner with us to help end food insecurity.
Jean, as you go into 2026, as you're here on the tail end of 2025, what do you look to achieve in terms of vision for this community? And I don't specifically ask about Alabama Childhood Food Solutions, but really for more so, and not just the community, but the region at large that you serve.
Yeah, well, one of the things that that stays on our heart all the time is just an unmet need. You know, there's a lot of organizations that try to do a little bit. If you look at the scope of what we've tried to do in this past year and the previous 2 years, we've seen growth from 600 families to almost 1,300 families. And Michael, this whole thing about the federal shutdown and the freeze on government employees, we've seen 150 families, new families, step up and ask us for assistance in the last 4 to 5 days.
Wow.
And that stretches our resources. So one of the things that you're talking about vision, as I look to the year ahead, we've been growing at about 20% per year as far as adding new families and expanding our children's program. But to do that, we have to have an army of volunteers. We have to have people that are willing to step in and say, it takes resources to make that happen. We don't get all that food for free. I mean, it's some of that's donated, but we purchase a lot of food through the Community Food Bank, through other partners, and we buy all of the children's food. So trying to raise enough money to serve those children and the 367 in Sylacauga and the 2,100 additional students that we serve in the other counties, it's a daunting task, but we have some amazing folks that are willing to get up every day and see how we can get that done. So, we're committed to figuring out a way to serve those families and serve those children across the county. And that 1 in 4, I'll go back to that number that you shared, that 1 in 4 children are facing food insecurity that may not know where their next meal's coming from. Our organization is committed to that number moving, and to move it, we have to do a better job of penetrating Talladega County and beyond. And so we want that number to go next year to maybe 1 in 5, and the following year to 1 in 6. And so to do that, it takes resources. And so we're currently serving, we're stretching ourselves to serve these 150 additional families right now. But a lot of people are asking us how they can help. And just hearing our story a little bit on the radio and other ways brings it to light. And then Val is willing to meet with anybody anytime, and so are the rest of our team. But just getting the word out that there's need and there's people that are struggling, and we believe we're called to try to step into that need. I've shared this a number of times with folks that volunteer, but you mentioned Jim and Linda. They made a promise to God 15 years ago, if he'd provide the food, they would get it out into the community. Mm-hmm. And as an organization, we've rallied around that promise that he made that many years ago, and we've made a promise to the community that if you're struggling, if you're hurting, you're without a job, you're without resources, Alabama Childhood Food Solutions is a place for you to turn. And that's exactly what we say to the community, and we're here to help.
I could not have, I mean, obviously I couldn't have said it better myself. Gene and Val, incredible work that you're doing. You can learn more about Alabama Childhood Food Solutions online at alabamachildhoodfood.com. Thank you so much for telling us your story and for being here this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And if folks want to know how to help us during this time, volunteer and provide some funds, because we're buying additional food. So people are asking us, how can I help? And so we can resource that dollar back through the food bank and buy in bulk and meet the needs of these. That's a lot of food, 150 families in 4 days added to our current roll. That's a big number, and it's we expect it to continue to surge. Volunteering, trying to help us with the funding needs that are there. We just appreciate this community so much and all of our partners.
Absolutely. And you can piggyback off of that with the Stuff the Studio Food and Toy Drive, which kicks off on the 17th, which is going to be an incredible effort. It's going to run through mid-December, and you can donate non-perishable food items, and those food items will go directly to Alabama Childhood Food Solutions. And I'd be remiss if I said that the toys would not go to our local partners, the Sylacauga Alliance for Family Enhancement. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Kicks off on November the 17th. Dr. Eller, thank you for shining some light on this greater organization today. Really appreciate that.
Well, we just appreciate, like I said, we're grateful for the organization. We're grateful for what they do for our families. And we want to make sure that our families continue to be taken care of. And we felt it was important, one, to, you know, express the gratitude to Alabama Childhood Food Solutions for what they do for us, but also let our community know how they can be part of that positive impact as well.
For sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you next time here on the Midweek Minute with the Superintendent. Have a great week.
Thank you.